The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Doom! 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 Doom!
Four guys and a movie! Four guys and a movie! Don and Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show! Four guys and a movie!
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host, as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
Rob.
Joe Linus.
Today we have a special guest with us.
John.
Hi, John.
What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hello, hello.
John, why are you here today?
I'm here today because... I sponsored this episode.
Yay!
Sure did.
Woo! Sponsored episode.
You made us watch this.
Money, 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 money. Well, thank you for sponsoring this episode.
Yes, thank you, John. And thank you for joining us to watch this movie as well.
And what is this movie, Tony?
Well, it seems all mankind is facing an epic choice. A world of magic or a world of science? Which one will it be?
Neither, it turns out.
Yeah. We watched Flight of Dragons from 1982-ish. The official release date's a little bit wonky because it came out on video and then was released in theaters and then...
Wait, it came out on video first?
Yes.
And then it had a theatrical release?
If what I read is to be believed, yes.
That is a poor marketing choice.
It feels like it came out on TV, because, like...
It's edited for television.
Yes.
It had built-in commercial breaks, like, legit.
Well, I think they weren't sure how to handle this, so.
Rankin-Bass knows how to hedge their
bets. I think it was released in Europe first.
Yes.
Here. Okay, because, like, yeah, because how long is the movie?
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It could have been, like, an hour and, like, 10 minutes, but they edited, like, each before commercial break was a little long... And then they showed it again after the break, so they could have come and save like 10 minutes.
Yeah, at the same time, it feels like a 2-hour movie that they cut major scenes out of.
Well, I mean, I guess, but it's still okay to me. Mm-hmm.
But as mentioned, this was directed by Jules Bass and Arthur Rankin Jr. Rankin and Bass, of course, known for The Little Drummer Boy, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Here Comes Peter Cottontail, Year Without Santa Claus, Rudolph Shiny New Year. And, of course, The Hobbit.
And 2 out of 3 animated lords.
Also Thundercats.
Wait, really?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Did you ever, the animation is exactly the same in the Thundercats show.
Well,
they might have animated it, but I don't think they directed or wrote it or anything.
No, they didn't direct and write it.
Yeah, it's possible.
Fact check.
Yeah, fact check time.
Yeah, Rich, where you at, Rich?
Oh, I'm fact checking right now.
All right, well, Rob does that. What's your personal history with this movie, Brian?
I haven't even heard of the shit before.
Joe?
I'm here for the $20.
Rob?
Yeah, never heard of it.
It's John?
I have extreme nostalgia goggles for this movie because I saw it on TV in the 80s all the time.
What channel?
Yeah, because I've never seen this on television.
I don't know. It was always, like, whatever the channels that would run the animated Hobbit.
Remember that TV static that the poltergeist talked to the girl through?
Yeah.
That channel.
Oh, yeah, that channel. Yeah. No, it was
just
always,
talking to John.
It was always on those same networks that would play the animated Hobbit movie. The Last Unicorn, also another Rankin-Bass production.
I think the only time I ever saw The Last Unicorn, it was on like, MTV or something.
I've never seen that.
No.
Wait, I could have sworn John made us all of us watch that.
Well, he was going to. He was
I
going
thought
to
he made us watch this one before.
It made us watch The Last Unicorn.
It may have been before Brian's time a little.
I don't know.
There was a time you were going to have us watch it, but like something else came up. We ended up
like,
doing
I only knew John for like a year before Brian was part of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot can happen in a year. A lot of Last Unicorn.
None so anyway,
so the original Thundercats show was animated in Japan while being produced, written, and voice acted in the United States. The series was originally distributed by Rankin-Bass Productions.
Okay,
so the dude is Mumra.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mentioned some of the character designs for
Dude,
the...
Snarf looks like straight up like Rankin and Bass character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shut up, you fuck.
Yeah, the bat, yeah. But like because it was drawn in Japan, it was a little
I think
little
that nicer. Toad guy appears in this movie at one point.
Oh yeah.
I vaguely remember seeing this at your house at one point.
Maybe.
Or at least parts of it.
Like that would have been but, over 20 years ago.
Yes, and I haven't seen it since, and I don't remember shit about it. Also, quick apology, because I am a bit under the weather, and it can probably be heard in my voice and my coughing and the fact that my brain's on fire, so I'm saying...
It's not anything new, though. Like, it's not a new thing.
Yeah, well... All right, but brief history on this movie. It is loosely based on a novel called The Dragon and George by George R. Dixon.
George R. R. Martin.
Yes.
The Dragon Humps George.
All right, so it was actually made in 1982 and widely available on direct-to-video, but then later released a official theatrical version in 1986. I guess because they were trying to, like, maybe they saw that it was gaining some kind of cult following or something. I don't know.
What cult? I mean, they play The Room in movie theaters still.
Yeah, you know. It's entirely possible.
Same group of people. They throw spoons at the screen.
The person who provided the voice for Antiquity and the person who provided the voice for Solaris the Blue Wizard are uncredited in this movie. Paul Frees.
Yeah, he was on the run from Batman, so he didn't want to let on where he was.
But he is apparently the voice of Antiquity, and the guy who did Solaris the Blue Knight is still unknown to this day. So good on that guy.
Wait. Yeah, that was the
yeah.
Yep.
Wait.
You are correct. Yes. Yes.
The one black guy.
Yeah, he's not on the cast.
Well, hold on.
I know the voice wasn't black.
The one black guy in the movie was definitely credited.
Well, the one physically appearing black guy in the animation.
I guess. I thought he was meant to be like Indian or something, honestly. But
well,
he was brown of some description, I guess.
Sorry, I'm taking it. I don't care. Taking it. Don't care.
I mean,
not even credited. Fuck.
Well, to be fair, maybe because this guy was like, "This seems,"
yeah, he probably saw it and was like, "No thanks."
Yeah, take my name off, please.
In 82, nope. Want that money?
They were just doing that many drugs in the production that like they don't even remember who did the voice.
That's possible. But yes, that's pretty much all I got. Let's get into this movie.
Well, did you mention who the big bad guy?
We do the cast.
System.
Calm down.
Right. I did kind of start jumping over that. But yeah, because we are going to skip the budget and
it's
the
a rough system.
The budget and what it made because I could not find that information.
$1 and $2.
Done.
There you go.
Joe wins. All right. So where'd that money go, Joe?
I think they got $7.95.
Yeah, like the DVD. Bet that owns the DVD, so they made some money.
Made $149, all of it from
John. I just wanted to yell a number. All right. So we got Victor Buono as Arag. These are all voice actors. James Gregory as Brag and Smirgle. James Earl Jones as Amadon. Harry Morgan as Carolinus, and John Ritter as Peter Dickinson.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our cast. So what the hell happened in this movie?
Still trying to figure it out myself. Like,
so it starts off, was it a narrator?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the land of...
As all fantasy movies do.
Yeah, it's a land of, like, magic and stuff, and people and magic, and they get together and, like, things happen and stuff like that, and it's magic.
And
like the times are changing.
Everything in this world is on a high pedestal, and like there's like this green wizard Carolinus on a pedestal that a dragon comes and picks him up.
There's a whole bunch of dragons flying.
A flight of dragons. A
flight of dragons in the air.
Is this where we get the first name drop?
What's that?
Do they say flight of dragons here?
I don't know if they necessarily.
Well, song.
The song does kick it.
But like several other points in the movie, they just say Flight of Dragons.
I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that the official term? It's a flight of a group is a flight of dragons. It's not like a murder of dragons.
I guess not. A school of dragons.
Why are crows called a murder? Why
I don't know.
My favorite one, a group of personal trainers is a torment.
Sometimes they found murder victims because there was a big flock of crows like picking at them. So murder of crows.
Well, okay. All right.
All right. So let's talk about it right off the bat. The dragons. What do we think so far? Just on the animation here.
Did Rankin and Bass do Puff the Magic Dragon?
If you're talking about the illicit drugs, yes.
No, I mean like the cartoon. Like
I don't believe so.
Because that was like a big potbelly fat dragon.
I forgot skinny appendages that in this era, like dragons were fat.
Yeah, why?
Well, it just so happens.
Explain why
that the dragons in this movie were based on the dragons in a book by Peter Dickinson.
See, that dragon looks cooler.
The main character of the movie produced a book called The Flight of Dragons.
Are we still in the last movie? Because like that movie was about the kid reading the story, and we're reading his story.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, is this the same thing?
It's a little weird.
Remember the story? Like, okay.
But yeah, my father had this book on the bookshelf.
But it was only half written then.
It was an unwritten book. He had this on the bookshelf, and I remember looking at it as like a wee little lad, and the pictures were all cool. And it was published in 1976.
The year of John's summoning to this realm.
We have changed this.
79, almost the year of my summoning to this realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had seen this book and the pictures of the dragons in it way before I ever saw the movie come out. And then I saw the movie on TV one day and I was like, whoa, that's the thing. That's the dragons from the book. And so they are based on illustrations by Wayne Anderson in this book, Flight of Dragons.
Mr. Anderson, I need to talk to you about your dragons.
Yeah, animation-wise, I think they're fairly good. Mm-hmm. Design-wise, with the pot belly and so on, it's a little wonky. I think it sells a little better with like the good guy dragons, but when you see the bad guy dragon waddling towards somebody, it kind of takes the threat away.
I mean, as a wee lad, I think I would have still liked the dragons.
I would have found no problem whatsoever as a kid.
Like, my problem more is, like, they're not flapping their wings. And you're like, why are they not flapping their wings? And then John was like, oh, that'll be explained. And then I was like, oh, no.
Yep, that's a whole chapter in this book.
Mm-hmm. I will say, animation-wise, the one part that looks like crap, though, they're fire-breathing. It's not good.
Yeah.
No, it's more.
It's like a Godzilla level fire breath.
Okay,
like an early Godzilla.
So John's he's going through the book right now, trying to find pictures of dragons, whatever.
Just colored gas.
I realized the dragon looked like took like a brontosaurus
and
put some little small wings on his back.
Yeah,
that's it.
Like,
yeah.
Well, gave him a few more claws and spiny
claws and scales and like spiny knees, whatever.
I mean,
The images in this book are pretty cool. Like,
yeah, they are. But the listeners at home cannot see those images.
Yes.
I'll put them up on the
All right.
Yeah, this is doing us no good at the moment. So, the green wizard here, is talking about how everything needs to coexist. And that's when we see our first sign of danger, I guess, where a swan is just high as shit.
This is some bullshit.
Okay. In lieu of participating, John has now found a picture of is that a woman or a man making out with a dragon?
Are they making out or is the dragon eating his face?
The dragon's eating his face.
Oh, dragon's just eating his face. All right,
never mind. That's better?
I guess. I don't know.
So the swan has like four or five little sprites on his back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like,
look at the swan's face. He's tripping balls. Like, he's got like a 1,000-yard stare.
Like, what the fuck's going on right now? I'm so high right now, I don't even know what's up.
He's whacked out on pixie dust.
Are these pears for real? What the hell?
And, like, there's a little water wheel in on the right side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, easily avoidable.
Yep.
But it's so high, I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yep.
And it sucks it right under.
It could have flew. It could have swam backwards. It could have just steered around the water wheel.
Have a swan capable of flight covered by pixies capable of flight.
Yeah.
That's the real kicker for me. Like, the whole point of this was it's how science is impeding on magic. But it's like, if they didn't land on the swan, they would have been fine. And the swan is not magical. It's just a fucking swan.
No, if the swan just paid attention to where it was going, it would have been fine.
Yeah, it just gets straight up, like, pulled under by this water wheel and comes out the other side all fucked up. And then Carolinas, you know, casts a healing spell or whatever. And he's like, this evil water wheel, blah, blah, blah.
It's like that person who hits a parked car gets mad at the parked car. Like,
you kids and your Tide Pods and your music and your Letterman jackets, get off my lawn.
If any of our listeners are eating Tide Pods, thank you for listening. But
it was nice knowing you.
Keep eating.
Yeah, in all seriousness, what the fuck?
Don't just stop at one.
Wow.
Listen. If you're going to be a swan and not pay attention to where you're swimming, you deserve to get smacked by a water wheel.
No That's arguments, but maybe this isn't the time for this conversation.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So he's just yelling shit at the mill, and then the three guys from the mill come out, and they're just like, fudge off, you fuck, and start throwing rocks at this guy.
And guys is a very generous term when describing these things.
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
Rankin and Basses.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're people, but like, they're one's nose the size of someone else's head.
Yeah.
One guy has ears pointy like elves. But
they have these like spindly little legs.
They were meant to be ugly so you wouldn't sympathize with them.
Yeah, but everything is ugly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our main character so far has a giant dick for a nose that hangs down over his mouth.
Yeah, do we want to discuss this?
We just did.
Yeah, that pretty much
sums it up.
He's got a dick just straight on his face.
We're all in agreement. Yeah. He's got a dick on his face.
All right, and then he's like, I'll cast some magic and make your water wheel disappear. It's on the level of, like, yesterday, the kid throwing the book in A Neverending Story. Like,
what do you mean yesterday? That was weeks ago.
Oh, weeks ago. I'm sorry.
But yeah,
you mean yesterday when we watched Mr. Black?
The wizard didn't take his Viagra, so he just does a little like piddly.
Yeah, he should have waited another hour.
It was kind of depressing.
Yeah, these guys are just like, get that shit out of here and throw rocks at him, and he just skulkers off.
Well, again, that was to symbolize science and industry overpowering magic and
so
nature.
I appreciate the metaphor that they're going for, but the water wheel was just a poor choice. Because, like, A, I don't sympathize with this wizard's cause, and B, like, he just comes off looking like a feeble old codger, and, like, he just sucks. And you're
Well, you take away his magic, and that's what he is.
Well, but I could see if it was something like, you know, it was like a whole plant or something, and there was like a bunch of water wheels, or the water wheel was huge, or it was like a steamboat or something. Wait. Like, something that actually posed a legitimate threat to the swan.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, like, a water wheel is not the most offensive piece of technology that we've had, so it's not a great start.
What if they were, like, building a dam across the river or something?
Well, it was the water wheel, and you notice the water turned brown right as soon as you got close to the to the mill, too.
All that pollution coming off that water wheel.
Whatever they're discharging from the mill.
Yeah.
But, so... The wizard is like, well, fuck, we gotta do something about this.
Call my brothers.
Yeah.
Solarius.
My brothers from other mothers.
And Umadon. Now, okay, so these wizards.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, pretty diverse group here.
Oh, yeah.
You got Solarius, Lord of the Seas and space. You know, he is, uncredited origin. You know, he's got like he's looking cool. He's got his blue robes, his poofy pants. his white, like, pompadour wig going on.
He's a black dude. Well,
yeah. In case we didn't establish this earlier, he is a black dude.
Then you got, like, what's the other guy? Lodigal's, like, this Asian guy. You know, and he's drawn kind of, like, in almost in that different art style, like you would see on, like, a Japanese, I don't know the words here, like, one of their tapestries or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's cool. He's got his Asian dragon with this sweet-ass, like, majestic hairdo.
Yeah, that's what Falco was supposed to be like.
Yeah. And then you have Umadon.
He looks like...
Like Rocksteady, if he was really old in red pajamas.
That's about right.
He's a rhinoceros, man. Like, he has a horn.
No, he's like if you took Grandpa Simpson and turned him all, like, gray.
Well, gave him, like, the ooze to mutate him into Rocksteady.
And put a rhino, horn, like, sticking out of his nose.
And he's also apparently part Nutcracker because he just, like, has no connection with his jaw. It just can drop just to his belly button. So, one of the things I found out was that apparently when this was being released worldwide, they showed it briefly in Israel, I believe it was, when it was stricken from the air halfway through because of offensive stereotypes. And this is where I was like, oh, I see. That's just okay. To explain my reaction to that or watching it.
Okay.
So
I'm guessing more the Asian gentleman.
So I don't know. I thought he was portrayed pretty well. I thought, I don't know.
Yes, but I don't think it was certainly not intentionally offensive in any way. But I could see how people could think that.
Yeah. I mean, he was Lord of Peace and Harmony.
I mean, he was the yellow.
He was yellow. Yeah. I mean, that is true. I'll give you that.
Anyway.
And then Umadon's realm is evil.
Yeah, that's why he was blue. Yeah.
All right, so then, they have a meeting where, like, Carolinas is like, okay, I want to, technology's purging magic from this world, blah, 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 science. Why don't we just make a realm where magic can still exist and be this fantasy realm, we'll like Fantasia or Fantasia. Something. And then Umadon's like, fuck that. Like, I'm just going to turn man's machines against them and be all evil, and they'll fear my magic and all that. And, they're just like, don't do that. And he's like, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
And he's like, see this big red crown? Powers all these little devils that are going to whisper in men's ears. And
I'm going to create ugliness and greed.
Yeah.
Turn he's everybody like, against each other.
He's like, all y'all old fucks, you've been fucking around with your regular ass magic. Your shit ain't working right. But my magic... I'm in control of my realm. They're still afraid of me. My shit works good.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck y'all. I'm potent.
What? Mm-hmm. But still take a poop.
That's it. Like, so, John, are you familiar with the other book that this is based on?
Yes.
So, what's the deal? What's up with it?
This really wasn't in
that. This isn't anything.
This is very loosely based on.
So do we know why he has this crown that makes him more powerful?
No.
So is it just a...
Is he even in the other book?
You know they already used a ring.
So yeah, that's what I'm other... saying. Yeah. He's got that one thing, that piece of jewelry that makes him stronger than everybody else.
Mm.
And they got to get that. So they got to go on this quest.
Yeah, so Carolinas is like, all right, the writing's real lazy here, guys. I mean, we had to invite him just because those are the rules. We got to send someone on a quest because that's the rule. We can't directly interfere. So,
they got all righteous and we're going to be like, you know, we're going to smash his shit. And,
yeah. And Solaris then, is like, I could call down meteors on his ass.
And then the powers of antiquity, which apparently are it's the magical lease for their realm.
Popo.
Like, you know, start breaking the temple that they're meeting in. Yeah. They're like, oh shit.
Right, fuckers, that's not how good operates.
We can't do that.
You always make one person go on a really long, shitty quest.
That's not how stories work.
Yeah. Them's the rules. And they're just like, all right, I guess, whatever. You know, here's a magic shield. Here's a magic flute. We're out of here.
And again, like Never Ending Story, they had, like, ridiculous bullshit rules for that, too. But in this one, it's like, you have to have three people in a party to start a quest.
To start, but apparently more can join later.
How are you going to play D&D with your friends if you don't have no friends to play with? So you got to have a party.
Yeah.
That's why all these stories have multiple people. You got to have a party with you. Like,
yep.
It's like you need a healer, mm-hmm. you need a yeah. tank, mm-hmm. you need the espionage, yeah, like all-purpose guy.
A damage dealer.
Yeah, you know.
Mage.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that could be the healer, too, though.
Mm. Point is, you'll run into some NPCs or whatever, and you slowly gain some
following. Whichever class you need that you didn't pick, the DM will throw an NPC in there.
Those are nice.
They're nice, yeah. All right, so then... What are we even doing now? All right, so Carolinas is like, check it out. I got this dragon, Gorbash. He's young. He can go on the quest. I got this knight, Sir Orin. And then, I don't know, I'll find someone else. I'll go talk to the spirits of antiquity.
Yeah.
Like, so Gorbash.
Yep.
So, big-ass dragon, fire breath, whatever. Motherfucker's only 12.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck? Like, you said a 12-year-old to go do something? Like, what? Why would you do that? Like, what?
I mean, dragons mature fast. He's an adolescent.
Well, it's either that or the old as fuck guy that dies even when he doesn't get hit. So.
I mean, how old is that guy? A million? Like, I mean, where's in between?
Like, it's like 22. Like, I don't know. These dragons don't.
John, what's the breeding age for dragons?
I don't know if they.
You got the book right there, man.
Don't distract him, Rob.
Yeah, right.
Well, I just want to, like, you know, if a dragon is fully grown at like 6. I mean, 12 is not that big a deal.
Well, yeah, I think the deal was Gorbash, was it? Was excited to be part of this because he had never gone on a quest before. Mm. He'd never seen real action.
Yeah, he was a house dragon.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker.
I don't know the benefits of having a house dragon, but.
And now.
So not the field dragon.
They skip on. I'll wait till we get there.
Okay. All right. So. Fucking, you got this other dragon, Squirtle. He's all old. Not Squirtle.
Smurgle?
Smurtle, yeah. Whatever. I keep calling him Squirtle.
He's not a fucking Pokemon.
They might as well be.
Yeah, they might as well be. Honestly. But he shows up and he's like, all the other dragons joined Omadon, just because, you know.
Magic.
His magic's working.
What is with these fucking names?
Well, you know. Jeremy Irons gave him the magic rod that lets him control all the dragons, and he's just like,
that's the sound the things were making.
They were Jeremy Irons's.
Profreon helps him out. And then, yeah, so that's happening. And then, yeah, he goes to speak to this magic tree, Spirits of Antiquity.
It's the Deku tree.
It's the Deku tree, yeah. It's like, yo, get the... what was it? The 999th generation away from, what was it? Peter the Great? The Dragon Master.
Yeah, the first guy to tame dragon.
Peter the Great was a Prussian. So then, yeah, he sees into the future, into the 1980s, and sees this guy, Peter, the author of that book.
Dixon.
Peter Dixon, yeah.
Dickinson.
Making a board game called Flight of Dragons.
Because he is Dick and his son.
Mm-hmm. He's playing it with some, I don't know, is this like a potential financier?
Yeah.
Or pawn shop dealer?
Yeah, what? I don't know. Trying to sell him like a Swiss watch. Guys, I get that shit out of here. It's my role.
I think he was trying to get him to back his game.
Yep.
He was, but like... He was trying to give up the watch as collateral, but like, what was this guy doing? Like, what is his role? Because I don't know. Then like, cutting ahead, but Peter then just finds another thing he can sell to him. Then the guy's like, oh well, now you'll be set for life. So like, is he just a pawnbroker? What?
Well, I thought he was trying to get him to finance his game.
Yeah,
he's, and also sell things to like.
Yeah.
They might be friends.
They might be lovers.
It might be lovers.
Either way, though, this finance series, like, this ain't no Combs of Dunshire. Get this the fuck out of my store.
I'll try to recall the name of that.
Chardy McDennis.
Which I think they actually made a version of that.
They did, yeah. You can play it. No, that was the guys who made Settlers of Catan actually made the prop. Because they were like, just crazy person's designing a board game. You don't need actual rules. Just make us something. And they did. But anyway, I digress. So, oh yeah, so he sees him in here and he like stops time, jumps into his piece on the game board, pulls Peter on the game board. It's like...
Yeah, so he sees through a pond through time to this pawn shop or whatever, and then transports himself there into this game piece, pulls Peter into the game piece, they both rocket off on.
But they sit on dice. Yeah.
It just into back into his realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're falling from the sky. Magic.
Magic.
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
I mean,
it's
like his nonsense. Magic don't work on water wheels, but you know, you get away from technology and he can go wherever he wants.
He was in the temple of all antiquity.
Yeah, like, true. Yeah.
At a limpid pool of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a silver acorn from the magical tree.
That is true. He did have a silver acorn. Yeah. That's.
And the game board is the link between that realm.
Yep.
And you know, the future.
He had all kinds of modifiers to his
robe. I'm just like
it's sympathetic magic.
Yeah. Now, all right. What would have happened if he threw the silver acorn into the pool?
And it turned to stone.
Yeah, it went to went down and hit Peter, and then turned him inside out into that horrible dragon monster.
Oh, and that rose out of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The nutsack dragon. There's your dragon.
Okay. Good times.
All I'm saying is, all right. I could follow the plotline events of Inception easier than what was going on here, but whatever.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah. Basically, it's just weird stuff is happening is the thing. Like, there's reasons for it. You're just like, what the fuck?
And remember, this is like marketing for like kids. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not complicated.
Right. Well,
when you're 10 years old, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So now they're falling from the heavens
for 10,000 years?
Yeah.
Or decades or whatever.
And then I think it was generations.
Oh, my and
then,
bad.
Yeah, like Smertle shows up and like catches them. And then he's like, I'm going to turn around and talk to him. He just fucking roasts the two of them with his fire breath.
Yeah, so apparently for a dragon to lower itself, it has to breathe fire
mm-hmm.
to lower itself. So there's a few scenes where we see the dragons like burning their riders. Looks like they're burning the riders because they're like lowering themselves down.
So dragons are so hated for burning everything and killing everyone by accident is kind of what we're dealing with here.
I guess.
Wow.
That's a joke you're trying to make, sure.
All those movies where the dragon's flying down and he's like burning the top of all the thatch roof houses and whatever. He's just trying to get down.
Char Girl movie?
Yes.
Why isn't there a Char Girl movie?
There's a movie trailer for Trogdor.
Nice.
That's all they got around the making. But anyway.
Give it time.
So, it gets real disappointing real quick. So they...
You say this is made for children, but we have a little moment here where he's talking about this girl.
Mm-hmm.
That is everything he ever imagined.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he made her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his desires.
Start molding kids early about like unrealistic, beauty patterns or whatever. Like,
in the '80s, that shit was in full effect.
When you don't, you see a blonde, you think she's hot, but no, she's just blonde because you've been programmed so you're used to think blonde is hot. Like,
and I learned if you twist a girl's arm, her boobs will grow.
That is true. Yeah, I've seen it. Barbie. There was a Barbie doll that was made. It was a little kid that you turn the arm.
It was Skipper.
Grow boobs, like she would grow through adolescence as you turn her arm. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. John, you should watch the Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Okay.
So, Smertle, burned Peter's clothes. So, the guy's like, here are magic new fantasy clothes. And then you find out that the dragons have to expel gas to descend. And then dragons have hoards of gold because that's just nice for them to sleep on. Can't even say dragons are, greedy fuckers like they are in all the other folklore.
It's because they'll burn whatever else they sleep in, so they need a nice soft metal.
Gold, yeah.
Piles of coins.
But gold melts?
I don't know.
Yeah, real easy. Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't stone work just as well?
Apparently the burning temperature of dragon fire is not high enough to melt.
Well, maybe it melts the gold enough so that they kind of make a crater they can fit in. I don't know.
It makes it like memory foam.
Yeah. Memory gold. Yeah. And he takes Peter to his library of unwritten books, shows him his book.
So here's my question about this library. He has
what the fuck?
No, because in a weird sort of like fourth wall breaking, time bendy, timey wimey type thing, it makes sense. Like, does it constantly update itself as the book is finished? Does it go away from his library? Mm-hmm. Do new ones pop in when they get started? Like, that's what I'm wondering.
Well,
like,
I mean,
because that'd be kind of cool to me. Like,
it's implied that they're somewhere around like the 10th century right now. So all those books are unwritten at that time.
Yeah. So why does he have them?
Because he's a wizard.
Oh, yeah.
So that was books that will be written at some point.
They will be written at some point, but haven't been written yet at that point in time.
So I thought it was like books that were started but not finished.
Well, I guess if he has the ability to peer into the future, he can be like, oh, okay, Huckleberry Finn, let's look at this book.
Yeah, he named off a whole bunch.
This is what was throwing me off. Like, is Gulliver's there something Travels. In that cover? Or is that just blank pages?
No, it's the full the book so is
he
there.
He has the full book.
At one point, Peter starts looking at it, and he was like, "Oh no, you can't peek at the end." You know.
Oh, I didn't get that.
He's a time thief.
That makes a lot more sense than having a library of just half written books.
Yeah, they're not. It's a library of unfinished books. It's a library of unwritten books.
Okay,
but they are in their full. All right, final
then I'm gonna stop talking shit about that one.
Because I thought I heard unfinished books.
So I was the same.
My pride and joy, Dennis Rodman's Bad As I Want. All right,
so Peter's like, check it out.
And O.J. Simpson,
I'm gonna go take your daughter.
This is how.
Try to get some, you know, get some action here. We're gonna go out to this bench, you know, talk about sweet nothings. When fucking Omeron or Omidon's dragon, what was his name?
Briarg.
Omastar.
Briarg. Briarg shows up and he's just like, snatch, grab.
Smack takes Peter.
Yeah.
Smack.
Sort of.
Well, it's it's a step above what Falcor was doing a few weeks ago when he grabbed.
Didn't slip him a Mickey.
Yo, no, but he.
I didn't know a Falcon Punch was real until this week.
Oh, yeah. That was impressive was stuff.
Like, it was legit. A Prairie Falcon legit punches his prey to knock him the fuck out.
Yep.
Real fast.
Yeah, like, I didn't know shit was real. Like, holy shit.
You see that bird, he's just like, fuck. He's done.
Feel bad.
Fuck.
Anyway,
but yeah, just that is on par with Falcor from back when we watched Neverending Story. But like that had the limitations of being a puppet trying to do a thing with a live action person. This was animated like this.
Yeah, we just see like shot of a claw and then, oh, Peter's flying away. And then here's the thing. They're like, you know, what's his name? Gorbash, go get him. And the wizard's like, I have to help. This spell, I don't know the incantation. I'm old. And Gorbash is like, I got it. He just goes up. Briag drops Peter. Gorbash catches him. Everything's under control. And that's when fucking Carolinas is like, oh, here, spells. Woo. And he just obliterates Peter.
I got my wand up.
Yep, and crashes Gorbash to the ground. And you're like, good job, wizard.
Good job, old man.
Yeah.
Thought your shit didn't work right. Mm-hmm.
Then when Gorbash wakes up on his bed of gold, I don't know how they got him in there. Well, he's floaty, I guess. He's full of gas.
Smurgle dragged him in there. He's another big-ass dragon.
Yep.
Smurgle.
And yeah, you find out that indeed Peter is now Gorbash. And Gorbash has been pushed into his own subconscious. Peter's in control.
Yeah. So Peter's now a dragon.
And then we start explaining dragon.
So John, when you were a kid, were you like, I want to be a dragon? That'd be so cool if I was the dragon. Like, was it?
Fuck yeah. I'd already thought about that before I ever saw this movie. It was like,
he thought about it on the way here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, pretty much every day. It's like,
dragon. That's a constant struggle.
Like, I would like to be able to turn into dragon. One. Would not want to just be one.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. But if we were to turn into a dragon,
we wouldn't want to turn into this dragon.
How would you function, Joe?
Yeah. So here's where we start using science to explain things that we
shouldn't no business
explain.
Being explained. Yeah,
this is like. Like fucking midichlorian kind of stuff here. Yeah,
Peter told me it was like he was once a scientist or trying to be one, so he tries to figure out everything that's happening now through some science means.
And again, that's what this other book that the movie was based on, The Flight of Dragons by Peter Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
The whole book is just trying to explain a possible natural history for dragons and how they might have existed, how they might have worked biologically. It's all bullshit, like not even really good pseudoscience.
But. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've always maintained, like, in especially in the games I run, that, yeah, dragons being as big, muscular, and armored as they are too heavy to fly with natural wings. But it was always, like, just magic they fly. This one, they eat limestone and mixed with their stomach acid that produces hydrogen. And they have, like, a honeycomb-like structure that expands outward. They fill with gas, and they float.
They have ballast tanks, like a submarine.
And they steal cocaine from dwarves.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, let's not forget that they harass these dwarves. That's to get jewels
to, so they can grind down the limestone. And they are just dicks to the dwarves.
Just fucking why?
Yeah. And then, so they're dragons, and they're blimps.
Like, hydrogen is super flammable. Will it explode?
The reason why it doesn't explode in their stomachs, because when they're expelling it, they have, I believe they call it Thor's thimble. But they have some sort of, like, electric gland.
It's a little bioelectric, organ in the roof of their mouth that ignites the hydrogen on the way up.
But I'm saying, like,
they have a pilot light.
But why?
But what else? Here's what I'm saying. If there isn't enough force of gas going out, the flame should be able to go back in and blow them up.
Yeah, I mean, it's assumed that they have enough control over the
expulsion
of the gas.
So if you knock one stupid, like if you hit one in the head mid-flight, right? So it gets stupid. And you punch him in the gut on the way down, it's going to blow up.
Well, I think you can turn the organ on and off, too. Like,
it's always on. That's kind of like what happened in the scene that comes later.
Later on, this does happen.
All right.
I would also argue, though, if that's the case, then why can't you just release the gas without setting it on fire?
Fart it out.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what I was saying. Like, so what is the natural point of this Thor's thimble? If we're talking about dragons in a purely, this is how they naturally are.
Yeah, because we go through the scientific process of them with the honeycombs and the different ballast system, whatever, yada yada. But then they're like, oh yeah, it gets lit by Thor's hammer, which is just this electrical knob we have in our mouth. Because
there are animals that do.
Yeah, I know they can, but they don't explain how, why, anything.
I mean, I'm thinking of it.
Would that have helped?
No,
I'm trying to think of it in a purely scientific way. So I'm like, well, they're pretty much at the top of the food chain, so they don't need fire for defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would need to cook their food, so they just eat whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is the point of this thing?
To harass dwarves.
Yeah, I mean, from...
To rob dwarves.
Because from, like... first of all, also, the fire does not seem to work as a defensive measure, because it's never effective in this movie.
No, it doesn't hurt anything.
Like, it singes them at best. I would think
it's not meant to be a primary weapon.
From an evolutionary science thing, it would make more sense if Thor's thimble was on their ass and they farted it out, and that was a thruster. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but what legends of dragons have you ever heard where they fart the fire instead of...
I haven't heard too many where they eat limestone and are blimps. I like my dragons being just magic.
Well, so do I. Yeah. But if you're trying to come up with a scientific explanation for breathing fire, this is...
Bumblebees are magic. Why can't dragons just be magic?
Yeah. They actually do reference that in this book, that bumblebees shouldn't be able to. But at any rate, I it's been a very long time since I read this book, but I think I remember them justifying they ignite the hydrogen because they live in caves and stuff, and if they expelled it in the caves in an enclosed system, then they could possibly...
Oh, yeah, asphyxiate themselves.
Yeah, they have no oxygen. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that.
I mean, why do they fly with the living... Never mind.
No, but dragons live in caves and fly around, but, like, you know, they live in caves and mountains and stuff.
Okay, all right.
In most fantasy things. So anyway, now we meet the knight, Sir Orin, and his...
Who called him again?
What?
Who called him again?
Carolinus. So he's like, this is one of my guys for my quest.
Carolina Gold.
Yeah. He had Melisande summon those silver owls.
The Red Witch?
Close.
You gotta put your mic closer to your face. There you go.
All right. So, what are we even doing? Making
inappropriate gestures. And,
We get Sir Orin. He's got iron nipples.
He really does.
You know, he's reminds me of those sphinxes, you know? Mm-hmm.
He's a knight in full plate mail, yeah, is what we're getting at.
And they go off on
full C-cup plate mail.
And, like, they go on a short flight to meet him, which ends with with Peter just crashing into the ground because he expelled all of his fire. And so they got to spend the night on the ground. And Thorin's just like,
just out of shit.
By the way, I'm a creeper. Let me tell you my story. So
apparently,
we'll sell the part about Gorbash first, because then it segues into that.
So like I said, Gorbash is 12. We know this because what's the name again? Orin, whatever. Tells story about how he found Gorbash as an egg and saved him from Briag, the bad dragon. Which that fight was weird. Like, it's
but that's what we were talking about with he does ultimately. Like, he holds Briarg's jaws closed with his, like, scissor legs of doom move. And then he shoves his gauntlet into his Thor's thimble. So now all that hydrogen is contained inside of Briarg. And the electricity of the gauntlet hitting the thimble sets it off. And it, like, blows up inside of...
Okay.
And then they both fall to the earth and neither of them die.
Neither of them.
It's because they land in a giant mud pit.
Yeah. We're playing Assassin's Creed rules here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Just a 2-foot by 2-foot hay car.
Yeah. So he finds the one last egg that wasn't eaten by this dragon.
Brie Larson.
He brings it to Carolinas or whatever. And Carolinas has this little girl. Melisande is like there with him. Now, or he's like 30 already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so this little girl's like, you know.
He's a grown-ass man.
She's like 10.
She's like, 9 or 10.
10, whatever. And he's like, this one.
Yeah, I'm coming back for this.
Back to you. And well, so like, now he's like 50, so he has gray hair everywhere, whatever.
Sweet mustache. A better love story than Twilight.
He has gray hair everywhere. He's
but
like,
about the same age difference.
He's telling Peter that.
She's called him Peanut.
Well, I want to make sure things was Peter. Peter, that like that's his woman. Like, don't
like I'd joust you if you weren't a dragon right now. Yeah.
If you weren't a dragon, we'd fight right now.
I called dibs on that shit a decade ago.
I put in my time.
Yeah. When she was 10, he pretty much goes there and is like, you adopted her?
I gave so you to her free? As a gift.
Yeah.
Like, he totally has the thing of, like, you know, oh, you're raising her, so you can't date her, right? So she's mine. Okay, cool. Glad that's settled. Like, it's so disturbing.
I wish I had to read that.
We got sunships.
I mean, that's the same. I guess that's how shit worked back then.
I guess, but like, in the 80s? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean,
like, I'll tone down what I was going to say. He's just following around, waiting to see the signs of little... bra clips on a back of her shirt.
Oh, man. But, like, almost. So.
Well, no, he's just going to grab her arm and twist it around.
There you go. You're done.
So, by the end of his little story, he concedes that, you know, all right, Peter, you, that's you. I'm just going to be a sad old man, you know, whatever.
Because she totally has no say in this whatsoever.
No, that's why they call.
Well, no, he kind of is like, she digs you.
You made her, so I guess she has to dig you. Like, she literally can't do anything else.
Oh, that made it just so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
he does say that. He's like, I made her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Peter and the real girl.
I carved her out of mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, we kissed. Like,
okay. I make out with her every night.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Got a Japanese body pillow. They're drawn on there in a marker.
Yo, if I had like $2,000, though, I'm saying, like.
You get the Starscream
one? Starscream.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, there's one for everything.
Why not?
Rule 34, bro. Yeah,
but I mean, if you're going into Transformers, that's the one you'd go for?
I didn't make it.
All right. No, but that's why I wasn't accusing you. I'm just saying, like, that was that person.
Yeah,
that's
the
one. Somebody really loves Starscream.
Starscream's the bad boy, right, you know?
Rob, I know you've thought about this. Who would it be? Soundwave?
I mean, he's quiet.
Yeah.
You know? He's
got that tape deck. Who knows what could come out of there?
Or go in.
Or go in.
squeeze out a Cleveland steamer?
I don't even have an answer for this. Jurassic
well,
Park.
Oh, well, I think you do.
Was it Blaster? That was the Autobot tape deck one?
I gotta be honest. I think it might be Jazz.
Jazz? Okay.
Oh, come on.
Jazz.
Okay. He's going I know he'd have the music set the mood, right?
Yep.
He does have soul and he's super bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Yeah, I like Jazz.
It's pretty awful.
Hey, we're awful. Happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
So, Gamork is hiding in the bushes for some reason.
Wrong one.
Yeah.
Wrong movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a real name.
What's the name of the wolf, John?
Arag.
Arag.
All right. But before that,
Aragog.
It's Barak, the dragon. Bad dragon.
Briag.
It's Briag.
Briag. And then Arag.
Arag. Kind of like Eric, but if you're angry, Arag.
So it says Briag. And then Arg.
Can you just write these down?
Right, no, wait.
No, I have them over here.
I'll explain it.
There's like two R's, three G's.
I'll explain it to you, Brian. It's
his name is literally spelled like Arg.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no consonants.
Yeah. he's Welsh.
It's just all vowels.
I'm just going with it.
All right. Yeah. So this scene is probably my least favorite in the movie because these screechy things show up. And everyone's screaming. It's incomprehensible. We're singing songs that we don't know. The whole thing is they make this horrible noise that drives you crazy and kills your brain.
How's it go, Joe?
They're just, I don't even, yeah, basically that. Yep.
No. Poor Rob's ears.
Yep.
It's more like cicadas, like really bad cicadas.
So that part I don't mind, but the noises that the characters are making as they go insane are unacceptable. Now, granted, I mean, I wouldn't be making any dignified noises myself while this was happening, but you're just like, oh God, shut up. Like, they're trying to sing songs to avoid this, you know.
So,
it's to distract themselves from the sound.
Yeah.
Now, this sound makes you go insane, right? Makes you overly aggressive and go insane. Right. So, the Carolinas, his magic's fading, so he can't keep watching them. But his daughter, Melisande, somehow it has scrying abilities. So he's like, yo, watch this shit for me. Like, tell me what's happening. So she's tuning in. Makes her start going crazy, right? Mm-hmm. She's dark as fuck. And she's she goes to him, she goes, you killed my parents. And then
blamed it on demons.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is never resolved.
No, never. Like, they never go back to that.
That might have happened.
Like, yeah.
Like, yo, I'm like, is no one going to talk about that? Like, what? Like,
no one else was there to witness it.
This guy he went crazy, possibly became a demon. I don't know. Killed these parents, stole this little girl, and I guess was kind of selling her off to this old man.
Yeah, those cicadas make you do crazy shit.
The part that bothered me the most about the scene is not the them going crazy. I was fine with that. It was the sound these things made didn't match how things looked.
Oh, yeah.
That way.
I was going to say the design is terrible because I was expecting when they were talking about this. And how the sound was getting louder and louder. I'm expecting cicadas or like.
And how they attack by the millions.
Yeah, I was expecting a ton of little bugs to be crawling on them or in their ears and whatever.
Especially when they were like, they live by the seaside. I was expecting like crab monsters.
Yeah, something like that. But they're like mongoose things.
Yeah. Just
rats with dick noses.
Pretty much. in a shitty wig.
Yeah, they're literally this. It's funny because we've kind of keep dancing around it, but there is a Pokemon, I can't remember its name, in the most recent version. It is a mongoose that people keep saying looks like Trump because it's got like a hair piece like this.
Wow.
Zangoose.
No, that's
the other, that's the ferret thing.
It's more than one?
No.
Yeah.
Let's turn Pokemon on. It's on
this
right now.
Uh-oh.
Is it this?
Pokemon's interrupting the podcast.
Gumshoes?
Isn't that like, aren't they after Carmen San Diego?
Yeah. What?
This tangent brought to you by
Pokemon's.
Pokemon's.
Pokemon's gonna catch them all.
No.
My bad, son.
No, my favorite Pokemon's oily shorts.
Not banging.
Is it this?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
That's basically what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorta.
That is gumshoes.
That's called gumshoes?
That's what it's called.
Wow.
It is. Does it have gumption?
It is like a Trump weasel.
It does have gumption, for sure.
Anyway, it's a really ugly rat weasel thing with a big, stupid-looking nose and a wig.
So yeah, I'm going to get off of the Google image search before I run into something awful.
Yeah, the wolf guy here, he's just like, fuck this. He just runs through the whole mob of these things, grabs the queen, gives him like an RKO off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, but this whole time while they've been being driven insane, we keep seeing these gleams of eyes from the bushes.
Yeah, I thought I saw something.
Yeah, that's why I said Gamork. It's just the wolf hiding in the bushes, not doing anything until it launches out at something.
And then, and then the eyes gleam and this wolf jumps out of the bushes and then starts running down all the sand mercs is what these things are called.
He just likes to watch.
So either way, so they just fall off a cliff.
I'd be watching them. If a dragon and knight were talking about some chick they like, they're about to fight over her, I'd watch that.
What about when they start saying
Brian
she's
would
10
never
years old.
Be away from his crystal ball?
I mean, a VR headset, like, have one window with, never mind.
Now, if these magic people had the technology of some noise canceling headphones, none of this would be a problem.
Of course, just a shotgun.
Well, they've got a magic fucking wolf.
Yeah.
Or cotton.
The sweet. Sultry body of Soundwave. Or jazz, because jazz could do music stuff too. Yeah, like he could fight with sounds.
You just turn into a car and run them all over.
Yeah. And I'd be driving that car.
Yeah.
Using the stick shift.
Oh, I've awakened a monster.
You have. All right. There are no Doritos.
There are no Doritos.
Uh oh.
So yeah, he just jumps off a cliff with the queen sand what?
Sand merc.
Mercenaries.
Yeah, sand mercenary. Alright. So like, you're like, all right, well, the wolf's dead. And he's like, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah, I was like, how did the wolf live? John's like, what did you say, John?
What is already dead can't be killed.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay, then. Yeah, zombie wolves? All right.
Sure. Well, we do immediately get an explanation, though, because, you know, he was like, a giant squid just took me down to the bottom of the sea and left me there, and I drowned.
In an earlier round.
Yeah. And you don't see that happen to him. You just see him on the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, but I guess a god came along and was just like, yeah, you can live.
Well, that was Solaris, one of the wizards.
Yeah. He's a Greyjoy.
Yeah.
I broke Rob.
So,
never in a million years would I have expected Brian to come under the cut with a subtle Fallout Boy.
Wait, I missed one.
I don't think anybody else caught it.
No.
No one else caught it.
All right, I'm kind of glad I didn't.
All right, go on.
So, all right, this dude, Solaris is like, check it out. You go save them from these sand mercs. I'll bring you back to life. And he's like, why don't you just do it now? He's like, you have to bomb the ocean, you fucker. But also, if you went to the sand mercs like that, they'd make you crazy too.
He's like, wake me up inside.
My thing is like when did that happen? Like, when did it die?
A couple days ago.
Because it was like on the bottom of the ocean. Whatever. Before you...
We don't know.
Like, man.
James Cameron found him.
Was it in the past? It was like, hey, you just died.
I mean, it could have been a while ago. Yeah. He had the run.
I saw the future. Yeah, so he had to, like,
you know, he had the ocean's far away from wherever they are. So
it had to be a while because everybody knew about it. So it's like,
I kind of love the idea of like that.
It's kind of implied wizard. They might have been there and saw him get dragged into the ocean.
We mourned you. I was gonna say I kind of like the idea of that blue wizard being like, "All right, he needs to deal with these, but I'll just kill him. Fucking, I'll bring him back."
Giant squid, yeah.
He made the squid.
Yeah, just that explains why the squid just left him there.
Go drag him down.
And why it was prowling the surface where it could grab a wolf.
Yeah. He was the squid, like the incredible Mr. Limpet. Just went up there.
All right. So they're like, okay, cool. I guess you're in the party. Whatever. Then like halflings, I guess, or wood elves. I don't know.
Like immediately.
They're there. They got the golden dragon roses that are actually red.
Yeah.
And they make dragons pass out.
Yeah.
I guess.
And, like, these wood elves drop a shitload of rocks on the wolf, who's now alive, as far as I can tell, so that should have killed him.
That should have hurt him real bad.
The wolf is like Hans Moleman. He's just, like, indestructible.
Took a football to the groin.
Oh, my groin.
Yeah. And then, like, they're all, like, surrounding Sir Orin when, what was her name? Danielle. Danielle, Lady J, Lady of the Woods. She's like, trick shot with the bow.
Pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, pins all the little wood elves to the trees.
All right, now I know it's not Joe. So which one of you guys is pumping out those pastrami burps?
No,
not me. We all would.
It wasn't me. Yeah.
Minute, like we're all gross. So
yeah.
And you would have heard it if it was burps.
I don't know. There's
something else.
Something wafted. It's just smells like lunch meats.
I mean, there's a window open. There's stuff going on in the kitchen.
I mean, I was eating roast beef and
that'll do.
And sushi.
Okay.
Oh, I love it.
So, but I'm not belching.
You're just emanating.
It might be
just seeping out of my pores.
So we see this archer come forward, and the night guy is like, I've been bested by a great archer. What man is this? And she's like, nope, I'm a lady with red hair. And he's like, oh, I got a boner.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is happening.
Forget that other girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Alicia Keys, she's got some back on her.
Yeah. He's like, you're already an adult. I don't have to groom you.
Her hair is sparkling like crazy.
I don't have to twist your arm or nothing. I might do it just once or twice.
I will see take if that.
Can crank that out a little.
Yeah, then like the leader of these wood elves, Giles, they're just like, hey, man, you want to come along? He's like, do I have to do anything useful? They're like, nah, you're just a little wood elf. He's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. And then she's like to make it seem like she has a choice in the matter, she's like, I've admired you for so long. I know your name. I know your name well. I'm a big fan of yours, so I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. He's like, good.
We'll see about that.
Looks like things are getting better for Sir Orin.
Yeah, I do. The wood elf, they're just like, you know, you want to come along? Like, I guess I'm necessary for your D&D party. Yeah. All right.
They drew me with these cheekbones so you'd know I'm of age.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they go to an inn and like...
They go to the horse, the freaking Lord of the Rings inn.
And then... There's like four Jawas in service of Omadon here, and they're just like, we're going to go skulk off and be evil.
I guess.
And Orin's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, hey, Danielle, is this happening? She's like, yeah. He's like, all right, let's go upstairs.
Legit. Like,
yeah,
legit.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, we might all die. Let's do this. She's the one
that's like, we might all die tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And he's like, all right.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask twice.
I've had a boner for Melisande for like 10 years. Like, yeah.
And freaking Burl Ives comes out as a snowman. He's like, well, these two are going to bang, so let's go see what the dragons are up to.
Yeah, so these four pointless characters.
The dragons are like getting drunk in the cellar.
And who is this barkeep? This weird-looking barkeep we keep watching over?
Foppish-looking guy.
Yeah, he's just kind of gross-looking, but he's going to die soon, so it doesn't matter. But
so the four Jawas, they, like, form Voltron and summon this ogre.
Yeah, summon a giant ogre.
Yeah, and, like, this horrible ogre shows up and just reaches through the wall. He's like, cock block, and grabs Danielle, and Orin snatches them up.
They might have finished.
Yeah, knocks the whole damn building over. I think like Eric tried to gnaw on his peg leg or whatever. He's like, I don't give a fuck.
Got me, wolf.
Yeah. Giles fell into a pot of stew. And
the dragons wake up drunk and they're not sure if they destroyed everything.
Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah.
That
was admit funny. Nothing.
Smurgle's like, yeah, admit nothing. This might have been us.
Now, was that guy, did he fall into the pot of stew or was he like halfway in there when he jumped showed up?
He fucking hid in there.
Yeah. He was like,
I'm just a little elf. What the fuck?
Gotta find a place to hide. This is as good as any.
I think he was drinking that stew
when
he showed up.
Yeah.
And he just fell in face first.
So,
I peed in here.
But this is where those dragons were just like, oh, I guess the barkeep's dead. Moving on.
All right, so we go to the inn, to the ogre's keep, and like on the way, Smurgle is telling Peter what he's got to do to fight this ogre.
Because he's experienced at fighting ogres, but he's too old to do it himself.
Yeah.
First of all, don't be a bitch.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
That'll take down an ogre.
That was an ogre right there.
So... The
like the table shook.
I felt it.
Joe was about to float away.
A bit of power. So
he does have an electric thimble in his butthole. Yeah.
Their bones are too thick, so you can't bite them.
That's not a thimble.
Yeah. Their flesh can't be burned. So like, you know, even though you're this cool dragon, you're like useless against them. So your only hope is to just push them off the wall, and like that's basically it. Don't let them grab you.
But like, my question is, what if you had come fought them on the ground?
I would have just flown past them. I would have just flown past them and grabbed Owen and
Danielle and left.
Why not do that either way?
Yeah. I'd be like, why don't you do that, Smurgle, while I'm fighting this dude? Something like that. Either way, so Peter sucks. Like, this ogre just beats his ass.
I mean, real talk, though. If the voice of him is Ritter.
Yeah.
And so picturing Ritter the whole time, like, he's not fighting nobody. He's just he's trying to talk his way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's John.
So, like, Smurgle does, like, a run-in.
Plus, he's not a fighter, and he's in the body of a creature that he's not...
not familiar with, yeah.
An underage dragon.
Yeah. He's like a bard.
But, yeah, so he gets his ass whooped.
Yeah. And then Smurgle comes flying in, like, hits the ogre with his own ass, knocks him over the side of the wall, and that's it. Like, the ogre falls and dies.
Yep. Well, that was productive.
Yeah. And then... Smurgle's like, that was too much for me. I'm dead.
Just dies.
Just dies.
Yeah. He had a heart attack and died.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's raining, so I guess we're supposed to be sad. But I don't care.
And we just move on.
Yep.
He did become one of the stars.
Yeah. I mean, they do bury him, sort of.
Kind
of.
Yeah.
Put dirt over him.
First good rain, like,
it's yeah.
It looked like a pile of gold to me, but that might have just been me.
I don't know. Maybe.
It would have been a pile of macaroni and cheese. I don't know.
It could have been top of spaghetti.
That would be more scientifically accurate.
Yeah. So now they meet the acid worm, and like, it's this big worm that you can cut it up, but it'll regrow, and it secretes a horrible acid.
It's got a dick nose.
It's
everything
circling
does.
Around them. Peter's like, this dragon breath has to do something. Well, he smells.
This cannot be just absolutely worthless.
He smells the sulfur coming from this dude's mouth, and so he breathes down his throat and just lights the dude on fire. Like the whole friggin' worm ignites.
Yeah, I was like, yes, something cool.
An explosion that would make Michael Bay proud.
Oh, yeah. The death of the acid worm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they've officially crossed into Omadon's country.
Yeah, Badlands.
Omadon's like, fine, you want to come in here?
It's my house.
Yeah, it's my house. I could reach out with my long ass smoke arm, give you the naughty touch, cast power word mope. So he has these long, smoky arms that if they grab you, you just give up.
Like a Treyu's horse.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even grab anybody. They're just hovering.
Well, yeah. They just need to be near you.
Fall under their shadow.
Yeah. It's like Danielle like throws down her bow and arrow and she's like, fuck it. This is useless.
I'm just a
like,
useless girl.
Yeah. The horse falls down.
Treyu never gave me a carrot for my birthday.
Yeah. Like all this crap's happening. And then I forgot. Was it a... It was Carolinus or the other one, Solarius, were like, yo, I gave you a magic shield.
Yeah, it was Solarius.
Yeah.
Why don't you do something with that?
It protects you against Omadon's magic.
Peter was the only one who wasn't affected yet.
You're not even going to give me any credit for that either.
Yeah.
So they gave him, he gave him this magic shield that, like, if you use it, it wards off evil spells.
Mm-hmm.
And so he even though I swear he left it in the place.
Yep.
At the start of the adventure, but whatever. The horse had it on him.
The horse grabbed it for
you. Sir Orin's saddlebags.
Yeah. So he grabs the shield and boxes the spell away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, guys like, Omadon's like, fuck you now. Some of my dragons at you bitches. Fuck you.
So like, Peter's like, magic flute. I got a wood elf here. He automatically knows how to play that.
Yeah, you know those two magic items we got at the beginning of this whole thing? Let's use them now at the last possible second.
So the flute puts dragons to sleep.
Yep. Including all except Briag. Yep. So now Briag shows up, smacks Giles around like nothing, fucks up Danielle. It's just him and Orin.
Yeah, they get into an epic fight. Epic.
Yeah. They get into a fight.
Yeah. How does he ultimately... I know
he prays, he's like, check it out. I don't care if I survive. Just that motherfucker's gonna die.
Yeah.
So he lets the dragon burn and aid him.
Mm-hmm.
And then launches his sword at him like Rutger Hauer and Lady Hawk.
Yep.
Right.
Which pierces I guess because the sword's on fire now, it's like a anti-tank. Like,
well, he prayed on it.
Armor penetrating.
Yeah. He made the magic. The magic.
Yeah. Pierces his armor and sets off his hydrogen. Ammo racks him, basically. That's the end of Briag.
Yeah. He explodes.
And then, like, he crawls over to Danielle. He's like, I wanted to hit that. And dies.
Like, almost exactly.
Yep.
It's like, I would have hit that every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But now I die.
I'm dead. All right. So now, like fucking, what's his name? Omidan shows up. He's like, I won. Everyone's out.
Suck cool. it, bitches.
Then Peter just appears. And he's like, how'd you break the spell? And he's like,
I realized I couldn't be under a spell.
Well, yeah, it's like matter can't be in two places at once. I'll use conservation of mass.
Why the fuck didn't that happen a long time ago then?
Because he just realized it now.
In reality.
Hit him with a Newton's law.
In reality, Gore, whatever.
Gorbash.
Yeah, Gorbash woke up and was like, get the hell out of my body.
Yes.
And right he was now. Like, yes, sir.
All right, so Omidan's like, check this out. I'm going to get all fat. And then my back's going to rip open and I'm going to be like a Hydra man. But he still has his face like
so silly
at like peck level with the Hydra. I don't know. I liked it. I thought he looked cool. I liked neat. That idea. Yeah. It's, so he's like a big.
Honestly, it's a nice boss battle.
Yeah.
It's like a, like, you know,
final it, well, boss. Yeah, it was a good final form for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I could totally see like a Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy VI boss where you have the main body, you know, where you'd be hitting his like Omidan's head and whatnot. But then you have all the different heads that each attack you with a different spell or something.
Yeah.
And one of the heads like heals the others and one of them buffs the others and stuff. So you got to decide if you want to just keep hitting the body or kill the heads. Either way, yeah, it's a cool guy. You know, cool final guy. But Peter's like, science?
I know some science words. Let's see if they work. Let me talk my way out of this. I'm Jack Ritter. Let me see if I can talk out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is where I'm just like, what the fuck? Because he's like, you know, you can't hurt me because like you're trying to use magic, and I know magic can't exist because of science. Mm. And then he starts to glow, and I'm like, what the fuck message are you sending now,
dude? You flew here on a pair of dice.
Yeah.
What are we talking?
You're from the future.
He's telling about. He's talking about the speed of light. He's talking about all this other stuff. And it's causing the Hydra heads to explode. I guess he's just bludgeoning him with logic and facts.
He's just blowing this guy's mind.
Yeah. Banality.
But it's manifesting as magic. And
anti-magic.
Anti-magic, I suppose. Yeah. Fair enough. And then he's just like yelling sciences at him. He's like... He's
archaeology.
Like biology, archaeology, oncology, gynecology.
just saying the word.
Yeah, just saying the words, yeah. And like fucking Omidan's just like, oh no!
Not words.
That's not like, chemistry homework.
I think that's what like some parents think happen when you swear.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't say that. Oh.
Yeah, it's like the power of the words are just beating him to death. Yeah. And he... He crumples up on the ground and turns to dust, except for a crown. But I forgot, we skipped something. Can we rewind for a sec? We gotta go back. Omidan, when he sends his dragons out, like this is, again, like Profreon level shit here. Like, he is into this.
Yo, James Earl Jones was the only actor that fully committed to his lines. Like, he was all in.
He's like, doom, doom. Like, I can't do it, but he was ranting for a while. Like, the dragons were long gone. It's like, no one's in the room with you, dude. Like, he's just caught up in the moment.
At one point, John's like, he's still going.
Yeah.
Cuts to him in bed at night. Doom!
I'm sure it was a good minute or two after Briag died where he was still just, like, yelling things. He's like, oh, wait, all my dragons are done. So anyway, then... That's it. They got the crown. Woo. Peter disappears because he's too much rationality for this world. But he still was able to somehow appear and kiss Melisande in her sleep.
And give her the crown.
Give her the crown. Yep.
Maybe pearl necklace too.
Yeah. And then freaking...
Everybody's revived for some reason.
Yeah, everyone's alive again.
Fucking whatever.
You know, Carolinas is like... Okay, I guess we win. We got our fantasy realm.
Yeah, at that point, Omidan's power wasn't, cock blocking the other three, and they were able to do what they needed to do to make the last realm of magic.
And Milsan's like, "Can I go be with him, Dad?" He's like, "Sure, whatever. I guess I don't know."
Not touching back on the fact that she said, "You killed my parents."
Well, he's like, now he's like, "Yeah, good, go." Yeah,
I don't want to have that discussion. Yeah. Just get out of here.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's just let her go.
He basically is like, "You can go, but you better not ever come back."
Yeah, no, you can't come back.
He's just like,
Whew. Dodge that, boy.
Enjoy growing fat on a couch watching Real Housewives reruns.
I'm glad she was so distracted she never brought that shit up again.
Good luck in the 20th century with your princess job skills. See where that gets you.
See how talking to owls and being a psychic works for you.
Oh, yeah, you'll age now too, so that's all that.
Oh, it'll work out just fine, as we'll find out, because we cut back to John Ritter Dixon. Sorry,
Dickerson, John Ritter Dixon.
Dickerson, Peter Dickinson. Peter Dickinson. He's back playing dice with this guy, and he's finally just, you know, hey, I know you didn't really want that watch, but how about this gold shield I had up my ass, apparently?
Like, where the fuck did that come from? You'd walk in here with that.
What the fuck? All right, well, that you'll be set with. Yeah. You can make all the damn games you want. And he's like, the door opens, and
he's like, I just want to live in a cottage near a river with some of my trees by myself, like this one I knew back in this dream I had.
Millicent walks in, she's like, Daddy made me an anime girl.
I just want to live in a cottage with my love doll that I made. Oh, wait, the real thing's here. She comes in and she's got the crown, so she's just like, can I pawn this too?
Yeah.
The guy's like, fuck yeah! We're all getting paid. Yeah.
I guess.
And yeah, that's it. That's Flight of Dragons from 1982. Alright, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics didn't really have a score.
What, does it have a rating?
Not from critics, but audience gave this a score of
60-something.
92%.
Really?
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
the one vote from John.
it's just the one.
It's still only a 92. Me. Well, I mean, this has to have just a very niche audience.
So I'm sure it does.
Whoever watches it is going to be predisposed to it, I think.
The people that were so in love with the Hobbit movies growing up that they sought out others like it.
Or just happened to see it when they were...
Or that
between the ages of 6 and 10, multiple times.
That's their personal thoughts and opinions on it. What about you and yours, and possible recommendations on it, Rob?
I'm still trying to process what I just saw. To be honest with you, I don't even know how to give this a recommend. Like I said, this is for a very niche audience, and if you're into the whole D&D thing, then sure, go ahead, watch it. For me, it was a little painful to watch because I don't like the science behind the dragons, and I'm not too big a fan of Rankin and Bass animated stuff in the first place, so I'm not gonna recommend it, but I'm not necessarily angry that I saw it.
Okay, that's fair. Brian?
So I have no connection to this whatsoever. Like, as a kid, I think I'd seen like the Hobbit animated movie once as a kid when I was like 10th grade or whatever. I mean, like when I was 10 or 11. But like, so I have no connection to even the style. So I personally, I wouldn't watch this again. But I would totally understand people who are drawn to this. I totally understand that. So, I mean, if you're with your friends and you all have a past of like being this kind of stuff, watch it again. But me personally, I'm not gonna. But like Rob, I'm not mad that I saw it. It's not offensive at all, you know, except for, you know, dude, you have no credits in there. But, you know, aside from that.
On the house dragon.
That's like house dragon as in like house cat, not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not if it can talk.
Yeah.
Same boat here. Like, it didn't offend me. I had fun picking on it. But like, yeah, without that nostalgia goggles, I don't think you'll enjoy it. Even if you do, I don't know how much you'd enjoy going back to it. We'll find out soon enough, or at least one person. But I can't see any newcomers coming into this and really enjoying it. So yeah, not really my thing. So I wouldn't recommend it. Joe.
So. Again, it's one of those ones, like, I always give this rating to movies like this of, like, if you saw it back in the day, you know, I'm sure it's good for you. But if you haven't seen it, don't. I mean, it's not, there's nothing really there that's, you know, maybe if you're, like, going to show it to a little kid. But I don't know. You think even, like a lot of the animated movies from the 80s, just
show it to somebody today who's never seen them. Like even like a masterpiece like Secret of Nim might not go over well. So I would say
I haven't seen that either, I don't think.
Well, we should test that theory actually. But anyway, I wouldn't recommend it. But I think if you had seen it in the 80s, you know, when you were a little kid, I think just don't go back and revisit it. Just keep your nostalgic visions where they are. And I think you'll be fine.
But I will say it was a fun watch today because all of us were in the room together watching it stuff.
Like, it was cool to have the OG dorks together for a little while.
Well, yeah, it was nice, like the team bonding. Watching it on my own, oh.
No, I couldn't watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, under the right circumstances, I could see somebody doing it, but I can't really recommend them trying. But, so, John.
When was the last time you saw this?
Last time I saw this probably would have been when I was in my late teens.
Are they going to say 20s?
You know, I did when I was a kid and it was playing on TV, copy it onto tape. I believe I had two copies, one originally on Betamax before my parents got with it, got a VHS. And I think I copied over the Betamax to the VHS. Again, I was probably, I don't know, 12.
High quality, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it was super quality. But yeah, obviously I recommend it because I paid you bitches $20 to watch it today. but yeah, no, I can totally understand your views on it, having never seen it as a kid. But I would still totally recommend a fan of fantasy stuff to check it out. And especially if they have kids to watch it with, because it does, you know, if you're a little kid, it does ignite imagination.
I give you that. I think this is what I said the other week about Neverending Story. You know, you got a kid, make a think
yeah,
about something.
Yeah, Neverending Story as an adult is a pretty horrible.
Oh, we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're aware.
Well,
of that.
I'm not sure it would have the same thing on a modern kid, but only you know, parents out there can find out for sure. So, John gives it a recommendation. But the rest of us did not. So, what would we recommend instead of this movie?
You got kids going on an adventure, dragons, like How to Train Your Dragon?
I'm down with that.
Sure.
All right.
I saw that. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Also an animated movie.
Have you seen this, John?
I think we all saw it together.
How to Train Your Dragon? Yeah, we watched it.
Yeah, we all watched it
in
together.
The movie theater.
Okay.
That was non-negotiable.
I wasn't there for that, though. Like, you just made me watch it, like, separately with you guys.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that either, I don't think.
Okay.
No, I think I saw it the first time at Rob's house.
That may be.
But anyway. All right. So, yeah. But what else we got for the people, Brian?
So, we just had a sponsored episode. Now it's back into our normal rotation of watching movies and stuff for our D20 Fate roll. And that was started off by Tony. So, Tony, let's give this a go. Like, make it do. 19. Oh, almost
so close.
So close, yet so far.
20's looking right at him.
Oh,
right
dear.
Next to 19.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And here comes the sorrow.
Yeah, it's 2004's.
Oh, no.
The Punisher.
Oh, no.
Is that Dolph Lundgren?
No. That's John Travolta.
Yeah.
John Travolta?
John Travolta.
Not as Punisher.
No, the guy from...
Oh, okay.
The guy from Deep Blue Sea played the Punisher, right?
Yeah,
Thomas Jane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually never saw this one or the one that's after this one.
I only saw his fight with Kevin Nash from this one.
Whatever I remember from it is not good.
Yeah. Okay.
The one after it is actually
not
fairly
bad.
Decent.
We've had four different Punishers now, right? Between TV show and TV movies and this, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only part I remember from the Thomas Jane one is at one point he goes sick on people with a compound bug. What the fuck? Where's the guns?
Yeah, it's...
I remember him having a long, boring talk with John Travolta. I could not care less. But...
Yeah, I do remember a lot of talking.
Oh, put it on the list. Shit.
It's on the list. We're about to watch it.
Who put it on the list?
Oh. I mean, it's a superhero movie, so... I mean, it kind
of... Sort of.
Well.
Why don't you tune in next week to find out how we really feel?
So anyway, yeah. Till then, what do you got for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, we want to thank you so very much for listening. And we want to thank John again for sponsoring this episode.
Yay, John!
John!
If you would like to sponsor an episode, help us keep the lights on, help us keep the website up, you can go ahead and do that. $20 will get you any movie you want us to watch.
I mean, like, you know, within reason.
Within
like,
reason. There are details. Not watching
the porn or that stuff.
See like, the rules on the website.
Yeah. There are details on our website at 4ampodcast.pondbean.com. And you can find, I believe there's a link to actually donate for that there as well.
Correct. And for every donation made, we will dollar per dollar match a donation to the fund to keep swans from getting caught in water wheels.
Keep the fairies alive.
Mm-hmm. Or disbelieve the cheese dip. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please consider subscribing. We do an episode every week. Help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter, all that good stuff. You can find us there at 4AM Podcast. And of course, if you'd like to contact us, you can always email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So until then, we hope you all will join us next week with The Punisher. See how that goes. But until then,
deuces.
Later.
Water wheels are evil.
Adios, bitches.
Good night, everybody.